Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to the Hebrew Restoration Assembly, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Elder V, along with Elder R. Trey, who is definitely in the house. Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Hey, Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
How's it going with
you? Ms. Bikas. How you doing today?
Hey, Barakathah. All praises to the Most High, to the Father. It's another day, and actually, as soon as the sixth day hit, I started rejoicing, looking forward to this time of rest, be able to get away, and of course, to be in the Torah, the Tanakh, and to be with my brothers and sisters, to be with my family, as we rejoice and remember the commandments that tell us to remember the Sabbath, Shabbat, and to keep it holy.
Yeah, and that's what we're we've been called to do. You know, is to not only to obey these commands ourselves, but to call out to the world, and particularly the church, to come out as well and come back to the true way, and not the false way that has been lied to us throughout generations.
That's right. And we are the assembly. We are the ones called out believers to that are expected to bring remembrance to this day and lift up the Father. It's really been a blessing and an increase to have been doing these shows with you, my brother, because there's so much that I've even learned, but also it's been a blessing in my life. It's been a increased opportunity to draw closer to Ahiah and come to know him more and understand all the benefits of the laws within our lives. You know, just in my life personally, I can see the difference because, you know, as disciples, we're called to have discipline, but we don't even know what to discipline ourselves with when we were under captivity in various religions, you know, in various religions. We didn't know what we were disciplining ourselves with. What, going to Sunday school or going to mosque or something? No. When you start disciplining yourself with these laws, you start to see the increases and benefits as your life changes, health-wise, physically, spiritually, your perspective. There was a reason why he gave these laws for us to be Kodesh. These laws cause you to be Kodesh. And I can attest to it. You know, there was one of the lessons we did some time ago that there is a transformation that takes place as you begin to try and follow and keep these laws and commandments, where people around you begin to notice a difference, that you have increased, backup. That's some serious malakim that's got your back.
It
increases that, and people sense that presence. And it causes a curiosity in them, too, which is one of the benefits of being Kodesh, because it lets you be a light, a testimony, and a drawing factor to who the Most High is as you represent him in the earth.
Well, man, my brother, that's so true. I mean, and I tell you, you know, when, you know, I thought, you know, when I was in church that that I was living right. You know, I am in church. But, you know, the thing is that I didn't have any discipline. And so because I've been taught that, you know, you're just free in the Messiah. So, I mean, hey, if you do commit sins, and this is true, if you commit sins, just confess. But just to have that where I can just live in sin and at the same time be holy, it just doesn't match. And matter of fact, it's an abomination, which we're going to talk about today. And so these commands, it'll keep you in line. You know, he said, don't look to the right or to the left. It'll keep you in line. And even when you're tempted to do something, man, those commandments will pop up in your spirit through the Ruach. And, you know, so it keeps you in line.
It really does. Because all these commandments, as I go through them and I analyze them, and as we've been going through them for the last few months, they're for your benefit. They're for your benefit for your life. You know, even when it comes down to the food, if you start doing a study on shellfish, catfish, pork, you realize the damage that it does to your body over time. You realize that the Ruach was trying to tell you all along, I mean, the Father, Ahiah, was trying to tell you all along that that was not for you. That's not what I created that for. So you stay away from that. Let them other nations have at it.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, multiculturalism has told us that we can just participate in everything if we want to be accepted by the masses and follow the ways of the Gentiles, which we are not.
Yeah, that's true. And the closer we get to the, you know, to the return of the Messiah, man, the worse these things are getting. I mean, they have TV programs that just, you know, celebrate eating unclean food and eating rats and whatever you want to eat, and so the show is by a Jewish guy.
You know it's intentional. You know it's intentional if it's one
right,
of the
right.
If it's one of the Khazars, the Khazars putting the show out there. You know it's intentional. Get everybody to be in abomination. You know, or just in sin. You know, and that's the intimate That's the ultimate end game of Satan, is to take as many people with him as possible. And the other aspect is that, and this is something I was thinking about that I wanted to get into in another lesson later, that Satan is trying to get as many of our people in sin as he can before our brother Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, comes back. He's under the impression that if he can keep us in the captivity of sin and get us separated from the Father, that those that are in sin will be in his army to fight against those that are going to be on the Messiah's side in his army when he comes back. Because everybody knows that there's going to be an army of the remnant that will be remaining, that will be transformed to fight with him and do battle. So that's why he's trying to corrupt souls, corrupt our people, get them caught up in sexual sins so he can say, I got them. And I know we're going to talk about that today. Get them caught up into gluttony, using drugs, alcohol. He wants to make sure he gets some type of vice that leads to sin so that our people are in captivity and they're deceived. And the sexual sin is going to be is a big thing that we're going to talk about, because it's a sin against the flesh, and it's invading even those that are waking up and are becoming Hebrews. It's starting to destroy these so-called camps and destroy our people as they are waking up. They're being given a false doctrine out there right now to them. And that's what we're told. Make sure that no one deceive you. We have to keep our eyes open, keep our spirits alert. So there's a problem, you know. It's a serious problem.
Yeah, it is, man. And it's so interwoven now into society that we really don't even look at it anymore. It's just common to man. I can just think back when I was a kid, man. I mean, and you know, looking at cartoons and looking at, let's just say, I Love Lucy, whatever. I mean, it was some innocence in that, where, you know, you had a husband and wife. There wasn't no homosexuals around, at least not showing it. And but like now, it's just advertised. You know, it's just advertised. And you know, of course, you can't really have a movie without having, you know, fornication and adultery in it. That's just part of the norm. You know, so, you know, this is just interwoven. But yet people look at that as a light thing. You know, like, okay, well, that's just that. It's just part of the movie. Not considering that it's a satanic device and it's, you know, just satanic.
Yeah, Hollywood added once again to desensitize us, totally desensitize people to seeing sex and introducing them to pornography and letting them think it's okay to do all the different things that they're seeing on the screen, and to the point where they begin to lust, covetousness, lasciviousness, and desire, and idolize being in that particular, how would you say? I mean, they'll see a certain lifestyle in a Hollywood movie, like, say, Sex in the City, bunch of single women in New York, got money, hanging out with the girls, going out to have drinks, living frivolously, having sex with any man they want to. And they're programming women as they're looking at that, you know, waiting to exhale, a bunch of women sitting around, you know, committing fornication with different men. Looks like it's fun. The girls are hanging out, having fun, being cheated on, getting back at their husbands. And so they're being programmed in their psyches by Hollywood, by witchcraft, by sorcery. And it gets in their spirit and they start to say, I want some of that too. And so the whole thing is to once again get our people to be in a position where they are cut off from the Most High and caught up into sin. Because we're being called to be Kodesh, which is to be disciplined, which is to be a disciple. And that means to adhere to these commandments and to love them, because they're not grievous towards us. And this is what our people have a problem with, conforming to the Torah and the commandments and disciplining themselves. Because we need to find the joy and the pleasure in following after righteousness and seeking first the kingdom. which is these statutes, laws, and commandments. So, yeah, I agree with you, Elder. I agree with you totally, brothers. These movies, everything that calls on people to be lax and desensitized towards sex.
That too, and I'll say this, and I guess after this we can jump into it. But that too is a spirit of delusion. That too causes us to be, as you say, desensitized, but at the same time hypnotized. And you know, it's this been going on, but we don't consider it. And then when the question is asked, or when the topic is brought up, and then all of a sudden, you're talking like, you know, you're talking through a demon, or a demon is using you, or whatever they want to say. Not even considering that this thing is true.
You know, we can get into it. We're already kind of into it. It's kind of like a prelude to the lesson. It's what we're doing, I guess. You know, we build into it. But when you think about the fact that man is drawn away by three things, pride of life, lust of the eye, and lust of the flesh, we're usually the ones that put ourselves in these positions by what we seek, what we desire, what we lust after. And if we keep allowing the wrong information to go into our eyes and our ears, we begin to want what we've put inside of us, what we keep looking at and idolizing. That's why he talks about covetousness and idolatry, because that has a lot to do with the six senses and things that you avail yourself to, things that you expose yourself to. Let me put it like that. So this is why there must be constant exposure to the word, because we're washed through the word. So we can't just keep exposing ourselves to stuff in this world if we want to be Kodesh. And not everybody's ready to make that decision. And this is why our people are getting caught up into sexual sins. And know this. I'm going to say this again, Mish Bakar, out there listening. This is a tactic of the enemy. This is a tactic of the enemy to get you to be, well, let me just say it, out of his will and separated from him. Because if you're in position when he comes, you will not be going. You will not be a part of the remnant. You will not be a part of the third. You will be destroyed, because the kingdom of heaven has no place for fornicators, idolaters, whoremongers, drunkards. It's in the letters of the New Testament by the apostles. And we're probably going to get into that. So let's go ahead and move forward.
Okay. Well, we're going to deal today with a variety of things that's taken in the book of Leviticus, which is Hebrew words, Vayikra, chapter 18. And we're going to go, it seemed like it's going to be a lot, but it's going to be, you know, these are short, 1 through 18, 20, and then 20 through 22 through 30. But if the Most High, if the, you know, we'll leave that up to the Ruach, because we might hit it all. And then the consequences of these sins will be same, Leviticus 20, which is Vayikra 20, 10 through 24. And so I'm going to turn to Leviticus right now, and 18. Let me know if you want me to read, or if you want to read.
Let me see if I can catch up with that. Leviticus 18?
Yeah.
I just had to step away for a quick second.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. What verse?
Starting at verse 1, and we're going to sweep through all the way to 18. As you see, a lot of those are, very just to the point. So we'll be able to cover that.
Okay, so when we go straight through,
I'll leave it up to you, unless you just want to take it. I tell you what, let's just start reading, and then if you want to stop and, you know, add a comment, then feel free, or, you know, if I want to stop, I'll just stop you, and and go on from there.
Y-Ikra 18, verse 1. And the Most High spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say to them, Ahiah, the Most High, after the doings of the land of Mitzrayim, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. Ahiah. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am Ahiah. None of you...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let us stop there right quick so we can just knock out 1 through 5. Once again, you know, because, Elder, the church don't seem to be getting this. But once again, so I have to keep saying it. When verse 1, when he spake unto, when Ahiah spoke unto Moses or Musa, he said, speak to the children of Israel. And so I just want the church to know that in the first covenant, as well as in the renewed covenant, there's only one congregation. There is no, the church thinks there's two congregations, that there's a congregation for the Jews, and then there's the congregation for the Gentiles, which is the church. There's only one congregation, and that's Beta Yisrael. That's only one. You're not going to hear him say to the Jews over here and then to the Gentiles over here. There's just one congregation. And so it's always Israel, and then the Gentiles are to be grafted into the Torah way, the tonic way of Ahiah, which he has given it to the children of Israel. So I just wanted to establish that. Verse 3 says, he says, speak to the children of Israel and say unto them, I am Ahiah, your Most High. After the doings of the land of Egypt, that's Mizraim, wherein ye dwelt, shall not you do. In other words, you know, in Egypt, they were doing all kind of things. You know, they were doing, the idolatry. And, of course, through the idolatry, because always in idolatry there's fornication, they were committing all these acts. And so wherein you dwelt, you shall not do. And after the doings of the Canaanites or the Canaanites, whether I bring you, you shall not do. That was just the Canaanites or the Canaanites. That was just their lifestyle. And so Israel would be surrounded by these nations that were practicing this, including the sons of Japheth and including the Edomites. But let me go on. Neither shall ye walk in their orders. That word walk, halakha, that's another word for practicing, living the Torah way of life. But he's going to their ordinances, to their laws, and to their commands, which is opposite of the Torah way. Verse 4 says, ye shall do my judgments, that's the words of tzedekah, or my righteousness, my right rulings. You shall keep my ordinances and walk, there's that word walk again, therein, that's remember, that's the Torah way. The Zakin just said a minute ago, he just said Ahiah, but he says, I am Ahiah, your Most High. You shall therefore keep, that word keep is also to guard my statutes, my judgments, and if a man do, he shall live. That word live is kaya, eternal life with Yah, in them, I am Ahiah. Yeah, so that's it right there. So that's the foundation that he's setting right there to the children of Israel on these very subjects that we're about to hit, that we are to once again, you know, obey his Torah, do his statutes, do his ordinances, and don't do the ordinances of the other nations, which he's about to mention of what they do. So I guess I'm ready. You want me to read verse 6 or go, or you want to read 6 and 7 and go on, or what?
Well, we got like a lot of different establishing within this chapter of the different nakedness which shouldn't be uncovered. So we can pinpoint certain things, but I just want to paraphrase real quick as opposed to reading all 18 of them, because there's quite a few. And they pretty much get into the fact that, because I want to hit certain key points about homosexuality. We want to talk about that today, lesbianism, and I want to get straight into that. And I want to talk about this word abomination and what it is. But the next remaining verses, I kind of want to just paraphrase what they are and what it goes through, because it's kind of self-explanatory, but we got some nasty Negroes out there. I'm just going to say Mishpachah. And it gets into the fact that it says you shouldn't be sleeping with your father's wife, your sister, your stepsister, your cousin, your uncle's auntie. It makes it clear that the Most High put up these barriers saying do not sleep around with these different people. He was serious about you being with your Aisha, your wife. And during this time, we had many people that were we know that the penalty was death.
Right.
But what a lot of people
Elder, if I can also quickly say this, that when you do these things, there's also disformities or something in the birth of the child. They can be retarded, they can be whatever, whenever you mix blood and blood together, or sleeping with family members.
I got a lot of people that try and say, well, I don't even want to get into that because there's a dispute about certain regions of the Ammonites and Moabites as opposed to Down syndrome. That's what you're in reference to when you say deformities and mixing the seeds, and because it's one of the main sicknesses it causes is Down syndrome. And there's a certain look that comes about when a brother sleeps with his sisters, you know, certain retardation and different things that happens. But you're right. I don't want to go too far to the left. That the Most High forbid that, and that was one of the causes of that mutation like that. It wasn't supposed to be. And I also want to point out when he speaks of uncovering the nakedness, that's meaning sleeping with these people or having sex within your own family. So I didn't really want to go through every individual one unless there's a particular one that you want to point out and you want to speak on.
No. We're on one accord. I want to hit on the same things you want to hit on.
Okay, because one of the key points I think that we want to talk about is that let me just go ahead and skip down to 18, Waikra 18 and 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. And for anybody that wants to be funny and say, what is mankind? Or a kind of man. No, it just means that a man shall not lie with a man as he would with a woman. For it is an abomination. Go ahead, Elf.
Well, yeah, I totally agree. And this is one of the things that is so knitted into our society today. This is a WWW here, World Wide Web, and so we're talking to brothers and sisters all over the world. And this is not just something that's happening in the United States. This is something that is just all over the world, just common. And so that's why you have the same-sex marriage laws and all this kind of stuff going on. And the thing is that as you see the Most High is teaching us here that mankind is not to lie, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, is an abomination. This is a thing that the church as well, who is supposed to be the light, supposed to be the way. This is the thing that is very common in the church. I heard Steve Harvey say maybe 2 months ago that Without homosexuals, the church won't survive because they're the best singers, they're the best musicians. Oh, man, that slipped out. Now they're becoming the best preachers and all this kind of stuff, or the most, if I could say, the most popular. And so he said, hey, without the homosexuals, the church wouldn't survive.
I gotta correct the elder because some people listening, and I don't mean to get, I'm not rebuking the elder correcting, but you keep saying the church, you mean Christianity. Let's go ahead and point it out.
Okay, well, Christianity.
Yeah. In Christianity, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. Let's thank you for that. And this is something that is hardly preached on in Christianity, even though it's right in their face, it's happening, and that's why you got women now who's almost sounding like men when they preach. It's just going to. I don't want to get too much into this as far as what's going on in Christianity, but since I came out of that, I can speak on it. Because I came out of and I've seen it almost every Sunday, that is they feel free in there because it's not their sins is not dealt with.
Exactly. It's not a place of transformation or deliverance. It's just a place of tolerance. They would always say this is the hospital. You know, well, what kind of hospital is that? You know, where you just let anything and everything go on. Right there, and let little Jimmy keep directing the choir and tell him it's going to be all right. And little Jimmy getting ready to go to hell with his wrist broke. He's on his way to hell. Little Jimmy going to burn, and you're going to have blood on your hands. Understand this, Mishpachah, or anybody else listening. The Father said it's an abomination. It's an abomination. It is an abomination. And I think that we've become too politically correct, too soft, because we want to paint a picture of a loving Ahiah. Let me tell you about Ahiah, you know, and how he deals with sin and the anger that he can have towards sin and how he deals with unrighteousness because he despises sin because he has nothing to do with that. He wants that destroyed. He's coming back to cleanse the earth of all sin. We have to start getting the attitude where we refuse to tolerate or accept all of this homosexuality and lesbianism and butches and whatever you want to call it. These words might be offensive to the world because they're politically correct, but I have to call a spade as a spade and say it for what it is because it's destroying our people, killing our people. And he said, cry out loud and spare not. We're not to turn our head and let these people think it's okay to live that lifestyle because he said, I mean, let's get the scripture over in the Renewed Covenant about effeminate.
Mm-hmm. That's 1 Corinthians 6:9.
You want to read it?
Yeah, sure. Let me know when you're there.
Go ahead.
Know ye not that the unrighteous should not inherit the kingdom of the Most High? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revelers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of the Most High.
That means you're not going, being a homosexual, being a lesbian. You will not inherit the kingdom. There's only a third of Israel that's going to make it into the wilderness. The other two-thirds will be destroyed. Will be destroyed. I say this like this today because I'm crying out for your life. Now, there was one that you just pointed out where you said it's idolatry. And the thing about it, abomination in the Hebrew also means idolatry. It means disgust, abhorrence, hatred, and idolatry, and the Father hates it. We know that we are told not to be an idolater in the Ten Commandments. And so He makes it clear, And this is still, that's why I can't stand when these Christian churches are still saying that all the commandments are done away with. You ain't got to worry about that. By them saying that is why the church is loaded with effeminate men and lesbianism and all this different stuff is going on because nobody wants to conform. Everybody wants to do whatever they want to do. And that is no discipline or transformation of oneself out of respect and love for the Most High and the laws he's given us to cause us to be Kodesh.
Well, you know, like just the very chapter over, it talks about, Vayikra 20, it talks about, beginning at, I believe, verse 10, it talks about these sins in this very whole chapter of 18, is the death penalty. You know, and so, now that's in the Torah way, you know, but here, you know, in your pagan countries, since it's allowed, you don't want to get yourself put to death by screaming death to these. But you know, the wages of sin, now this is in the new renewed covenant, the wages of sin is still death. And even with Shaul, Paul, he mentions people who are doing these things, kick them out. Don't allow them in the congregations. Kick these people out. Because, you know, one rotten apple spoils the whole bunch. You know, one leaven, you know, just a little yeast, it just destroys the whole leaven.
Right, and we say this, you know, well, this is out of love for the people to not think that this is okay because he's making it clear, brothers and sisters, that homosexuality is not going into the kingdom. It will not inherit the kingdom. It will not inherit the kingdom. I can't stress it enough. And we got people that are offended. You know, I know I got family members that call themselves Christians that tolerate lesbianism and homosexuality and say, oh, just pray for them and the Father will deliver them. No, they say, and God will deliver them. You know, it's because they're serving a false God and worshiping somebody named Jesus that doesn't exist. You know, we know his name is Yeshua. Some of you call him Yeshua. That's who that is, and that's why they can't get delivered from these sins. This is a demonic spirit that has been loosed in the earth, which is why the majority of our young people are experiencing these alternate lifestyles, and they don't even know why, that something is pulling on them to want to be with the same sex. They can't even control themselves because new spirits have been loosed in the earth where everybody is wanting to defile themselves because Satan is throwing out all the stops to try and defile our people and get them to be stuck in a burning hell with him.
You're right about that. It is a demonic influence. People saying, you know, I hear now that they say, well, a person is born a homosexual. You know, you're not born unless it's a familiar spirit, but you're not born a homosexual. And this is one of the things that Enoch mentioned in chapter 7 of the book of Enoch, how these giants came and they, of course, slept with the women, and then after they got through with the women, in verse 7, there's only, I believe, 6 verses in there, then they turned and started having sex with the animals, and then they devoured mankind. That word devoured means that they did everything to mankind. You know, they killed them, raped them, whatever, they just devoured them, and then they turned around and devoured the animals. And so all these things with homosexuality, that came from them. Bestiality, you know, ality came from them. Also, all these things, and this is according to the book of Enoch, that is going on now is from these former angels, which were called watchers in Enoch, but turned into demons after they committed these abominations. And so
let me read that real quick, Elder, what you just spoke of. Leviticus 18 and 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, and neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. And 24 says, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The Most High is saying, I have nothing to do with the nations that were involved in these practices. 23 points out the fact that men were sleeping with animals and women were sleeping with animals. And you still have it today where you got women walking around with these dogs and they're sleeping with these dogs. They had a special on TV talking about this stuff. You had a bill that was passed by our president giving the military permission to be involved in bestiality. This is a corrupt, sick country we live in. And the Most High is coming back to destroy this place, destroy Babylon, because we are okaying everything. We're calling good evil and evil good, and we're going against everything the Most High forbid to purposely put it in his face and defile our people. It is sick. It is disgusting. And it's time that we cry out loud and spare not and lift up our voice like the trump in Zion and expose these things and prophesy into the wind and let people know it's a sin. It's not okay. You can't be like the other nations. Get up off that dog.
Matter of fact, the scripture says kill them both. Kill the animal and you know, kill the person who pretty much, if I can say, raped the animal. But if you watch just regular, you know, just animal channels and you see some, you know, program on dogs or whatever, you'll see that people are now, you know, eating with the dogs out of the same plate, tongue kissing the dog, you know, you know, just or whatever, you know, pet that they have, you know, and you got to be pretty sick to look at an animal with lust in your heart.
Perverse and perverted.
Right.
But you know,
and once again, this is a common thing that's in our society.
You know what it is, Elder, and I'm gonna go back to it. It's a demonic spirit. People don't understand. There's a couple of things that manifest themselves when a person becomes possessed. Demons look for entities to inhabit so that they could experience all the things of the earth to excess again. You taught on this too. You talk about the Nephilim. And what they want to do is experience eating, drinking, and having sex and doing all these things, but they need a vehicle, a body, which is where the possession comes in at. And so some of the things, outward manifestations you'll see in people that are possessed is this perversion of sex with animals and becoming nymphomaniacs and insatiable desires, can't get enough, gluttonous, can't stop eating, 500 and 600 and 700 pounds, talking about, I just can't help myself, I just couldn't stop. These are demonic spirits and entities, people who can't stop drinking until they have sclerosis of the liver and they die. These are spirits that have attached themselves to people to destroy them. The enemy comes to kill, rob, and destroy. And when people, it doesn't always mean people that are possessed are spitting out green pea soup and their head is twisting and they foaming at the mouth. That's somebody who's got legions of demons that's ripping and tearing themselves, or they have a particular type of spirit on them. But there are many people walking around us today that are possessed by demon spirits, and they suppress these spirits. Most of these spirits are suppressed through pharmakia, through drugs and pharmaceuticals. But there are many people that are possessed in society today, and these are the people that do things in excess and have no control. And that is what's happening with a person that would sleep with an animal, a sheep, a dog. That is a demon spirit, because these are things that go way back to these times that were put in these people. So why would we want to live without the law? Why would we listen to the Christian church that says done away with? That is so sick to me. Like one sister just put in the chat room, she said that who protects these homosexuals in the church? The black woman. Where is the black woman at? Packed out in these Christian churches, giving up all the money. and the brother ain't at home. The only one that's at, the only man in the Christian church is the faggot. And who's protecting him? All these black women. And they've been taught to do so. Leave little Twan alone. He could direct.
That's a good point.
Little Twan can hit the high note. Go ahead, hit the high note, little Twan.
that's a good point.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what is going on. It's a circus, and we are just too, we are so brainwashed and blind and ignorant that we won't even acknowledge it and see it. It's right in front of our face that we are being destroyed. Israel is being destroyed. I'll admit, our brothers and sisters in the Christian church are our brothers and sisters, and they're right now, and if we don't hurry up and tell them the truth and wake them up, they will be destroyed with the two-thirds.
Mm-hmm.
No. And this is why we're bringing people back to the statutes, laws, and commandments, and having this Hebrew Restoration Assembly and other brothers and sisters that are getting together on the Shabbat, because we are trying to wake people up. And if we can't get them to come to these radio shows, we're going to have to kick these church doors down on Sunday and say, repent. Y'all all going to hell.
Man, that's so true. And this is a big problem. It's probably the biggest problem in church, and it's not being addressed. And the person who do address it, I mean, if a minister do address it, all of a sudden he's an outcast, like you and I,
man,
who have addressed these things. We're outcasts,
right?
You know, we're part of some occult all of a sudden because we address these issues.
You know, I was just looking the other day that you've got gay pastors performing gay marriages within the church. Now I'm just waiting for the ceiling to just cave in. You know, this is just this. But then at the same time, what can you say? The Christian church is a deception to keep us from coming into the knowledge of the truth. They're all 501c3 compliant, which means they're lined up with the government, and the government is satanic. It's part of Babylon and a part of the one world order, because every 501c3 church will come up under compliance of the universal church, the one world church, because they are all tied into Rome. And when that time comes, they are going to comply or else. So any church, because that's not even scripture for a church to have to be tied in with the government. And every minister has to be licensed by that 501c3 government compliant church. That is, where is that at? What scripture is that? Where is that in the Bible? Not even in the Bible.
Not going to find it.
Exactly. We were told to be like Acts 2. The Acts 2 church, you know, you got folks coming to church giving an offering to get a write-off at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor wants to be 501c3 compliant so he can give his members a write-off so he can keep the money coming. And in return, the government gives him a tax-free salary and all types of shelters. It's a game. It's the biggest game going. And then at the same time, they have to perform gay marriages and allow any and everything to go on. So he preaches a message of tolerance and patience and mercy and grace.
I mean, it's funny because it is all about the money.
You see it? It's a big game. And
it is all about the money.
It's all
he's not going to preach that because he's going to lose members if he do. So even if he, and they know it, let's just face it, they know it's wrong. But it's all about the money. If I speak the truth, I'm going to lose my members, which means, in turn, I lose the money.
So, you know, what should the pastor get up and preach one Sunday? Get your gay behind about the church? Or should he just say, you're pretty much going to go to hell? Tell him that you need to repent, or you may go to hell. I mean, you just read it clear in Corinthians that you're not going to inherit the kingdom. You know, you are not going to inherit the kingdom. Now, is there space for repentance? Yes, there is. But what is repentance? To turn away from and not go back. But see, the church has taught and abused this whole grace and mercy thing. Yes, Christ died that we wouldn't have to have the penalty of death. But even Shaul said, shall I continue in sin? The Most High forbid. And this is the problem. True repentance will not allow you to turn back, because that's like a dog turning to his own vomit. True repentance does not allow you to turn back. Now, I was speaking with someone just the other day, and I realized that scripture says that the demons, when they find a temple swept and clean, they come back, and they often find a temple swept and clean. And they'll go back and get seven more spirits and try to re-enter. You know what scripture I'm in reference to, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's in the New Covenant. And I'm just paraphrasing real quick, because this is something about when people begin to expose themselves, they give a portal for those spirits to come back into their lives with other spirits. So I'm just talking about repentance to people out there who might be listening that's struggling. No such thing as struggling. You stop, repent. You know, they should say stop, drop, and roll. You stop and give it up and come to the statutes, laws, and commandments and completely transform your life and deal with these demonic spirits that have you in this lifestyle. That's what has to be done.
Man, and allow the Most High to be your stronghold, as David said in Psalms. Let him be your stronghold.
I tell you, this is such a sore topic that I wish you could see the chat room. You got people coming in and out the chat room like crazy. That's just like, oh, I don't want to hear all that. And you know what? Yes, I think it's funny, because I know that there's so many people bound by lust, because we're getting ready to move into another topic right now. We're getting ready to move into another topic we're coming to the Hebrews. Because the Hebrews don't even realize that they're being invaded by this same spirit of lust and adultery and fornication with this multiple marriage message.
Hmm.
Let's touch on that.
Okay.
But I tell you what, you go ahead and read the next scripture that you had already written down. I'll let you move into that.
Well, I was just gonna say that. Looking at, once again, Leviticus 18, it mentions that these abominations, that the earth, I mean, it, you defiled the earth, and the earth is even going to spew you out. I'm going to read, let me just read 18:24 through, and it says, defile not yourselves with any of these things that you're talking about now. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Now let me stop here right quick. All the nations that were surrounded by them, including Babylon, which is the head of all these, that they're defiled too, because Babylon just means confusion or land of confusion. And Japheth or Japheth, he moved him far away because he was really into this stuff as well. This is including, Europe as well. Let me go on. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomit out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments and shall not commit any of these abominations that we're talking about, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger, that's the Gentile that joins itself to Israel, so joineth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Let me just go on. And the land spew not you out also, that the land spew you not also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off. Cut off means put to death among their people. And see, even when you look at places like Hollywood, Las Vegas, and so on, it's a matter of time before that area is just going to get tired of it, and it's just going to spew it out, whether it spew it out as an open up through an earthquake or whatever and just swallow them or whatever it may be, whatever judgment that the Most High sends, it's going to spew them out just as he will spew us out of his mouth, because we're living both sides. We want to be lukewarm. You know, one minute you're holy, and the other minute, if I can use that word, and excuse me for my Hebrew brothers who that word offends, but kodesh, and then next minute you're hanging out with these homosexuals and lesbians and bulldaggers and whatever it may be, living, you know, just swinging the fence.
Right. It's a hypocrite, matter of fact, and it's damaging.
Right.
It's damaging to the message of the Torah. You know, it's real damaging. I mean, you know, nothing can hurt this message. Nothing can destroy this Torah. But you know, you bring a mark on it, a scandal, and you put blood on your hands.
Yeah, that's true. And we just gotta, you know, I mean, I know, like you said, you know, people are coming in and out, they're getting offended. But you know, that's one thing about the Torah. It does offend. It's a two-edged sword.
I came to be an offense. That's what he said. You know,
right.
It's a sharp sword. It's dividing a joint from the marrow, the bone, piercing asunder. It's putting mother against father, brother against sister. That's what this Torah is going to do. Don't nobody want to deal with that. Okay? Don't nobody even realize that you're going to be persecuted when you start standing and taking a stand for truth. So that's why the Most High in this last hour ain't calling no wimps, ain't calling no punks. I'm just going to keep it clear. He's calling people that have gone through stuff and they're still standing, not compromising, weak-backed people that's sitting up here waiting for the rapture to be raptured up out of here saying, I'm not going to have to go through nothing. He's going to come save me. He's calling people that have gone through hell, been to hell and back, and that know how to stand and know how to, you know, keep it going, keep it pushing, because they don't understand that this Torah is what's going to separate you, and you got to have strength for this last minute. I'm sorry, I'm going to another area, but this last minute, when they start chipping people and saying, you will not get any food, any money, or even get paid or get a job unless you take this chip. Now, who you think going to be first in line for that chip? Christians, because the pastor going to preach on it on Sunday. Oh, this ain't the mark of the beast. That's not what this is. So, you know, I didn't mean to swear into that, but, you know, that's what this Torah is doing. It's separating.
No, that's what it leads to. That's what it leads to.
Yeah, it's separating his remnant. It's separating the third. Let me read this scripture real quick that I had talked about earlier that deals with this little homosexual spirit, this lesbianism. Matanyahu, which is Matthew, the 12th chapter, it says, when the unclean spirit, your little gay lesbian spirit is an unclean spirit, is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. That points out right there that when a demon is cast out of a person, it's seeking rest. While it's inside of a person, it's happy and it has rest. So it don't want to leave or let that person go. It doesn't want to leave, because when it leaves, it's just wandering about, floating in the air, going here and there. It has no rest. It don't get to eat. It don't get to have sex. It don't get to do nothing. So it's ticked off. So what happens is, since it can't find rest, it'll come back to the original body that it inhabited. And then he said, when I return, the 44th verse, when I return into my house, once I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it clean. And so what it does, it says, then he goes and taketh with him seven more demons that are even more wicked than him, and they enter into that body. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation, which is what we're looking at. This generation is toe up. And when somebody false repents, halfway repents, wants to play with this gospel, talking about, no, I love God, I love the Lord, I'm saved now, I got delivered. And then they go back out to the club, go back to doing everything else they did. They pick up seven more spirits, and they're even worse, and you can't even deal with them. They're hellion. And so they're destroyed, and they're worse. And this is what we're seeing with young people, with kids, with children, all types of demons living inside of them. That's why this is an untorn generation. You know, this is what we're dealing with, which is why I speak like this, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of darkness. You know, this is what we're wrestling with. You sometimes are standing in the face of somebody that has about eight unclean, demonic, wicked spirits inside of them. And we have the ability to be able to deal with those spirits and cast them out.
In the renewed letters, Corinthians 10, 5 through 9, you know, the reason why we're swinging back and forth, because some of you church folk might be saying, well, that's Old Testament. Well, you know, Paul taught the same thing, so I'm hitting on Paul. He says in 1 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 5, but with many of them, the Most High was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were for our examples to be intended to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lust, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. That word play means, you know, sex and all kind of whatever. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt the Messiah as some of them also tempted him and were destroyed of serpents. Neither a murmur, lest, you know, okay, I'll skip that one. Let me just skip to 20, let me skip to 20 and 22. But I say that the sacrifices, because what people don't know is that when you do these things, when you have these acts, homosexual acts, fornication, adultery, whatever you're doing, just as when a man and woman, husband and wife, come together to make love, that is worship. You also are worshiping Satan in this manner. So it's a sacrifice. So I'm going to read this, because some people may think the other thing. But I say that these things which the Gentiles, the pagans, sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to the Most High. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of Ahiah in the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers at Ahiah's table and at the devil's table. Do you provoke the Most High to jealousy? We are we stronger than he? You know, so that's, well, he just hit it on the head. I don't even need to even go even further with that.
No, go ahead.
This is the New Testament.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, this is Paul, your number one guy, saying the same thing that we're saying.
But, of course, you know, everybody wants to do away with Shaul's letters because they say they're confusing, and it's confusing to them. They're the ones who can't understand Shaul's letters, you know. And Peter already attested to the facts that Shaul's letters are not for the unlearned. So anybody that wants to do away with them is just obviously unlearned. Unlearned, and I mean that, and you know who I'm talking. I'm talking to you, you, the one that called yourself something that the scripture told us not to call men. You don't understand his letters. That's why you want to do away with them and take them out your book. The Most High gives us the Ruach so that we can understand exactly what Shaul was trying to say to these Gentiles that he had to deal with, while the other disciples were dealing with the Mishpachah, the remnant, Yasharel. Just had to put that out there, brother. You know I got my sword on today.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that. So both ends are being covered. And so, yeah, as he speaks to the Gentiles, the other apostles, the Shilakim, were also dealing with us. And so if you want to be grafted in, you got to do it the Torah way. And just because you're a Hebrew don't mean that you automatically inherit the kingdom. As Paul just mentioned, you know, about 23,000 falling in one day and you know, so and so. He doesn't play. And by the way, this is the same Messiah, the one that was burning in the burning bush. This is the same person. So you can't say, well, that was the God of that, the God of the Old Testament, and man, he is not the same as the God in the New Testament, because the God in the New Testament, I'm talking church talk, the God in the New Testament is merciful and loving and kind, and he forgives sins, and so therefore we can just be saved and live any kind of way and just play church. And if you think that this is it, that I told a brother this, I think I told you, Elder, the other day, that if you think that this is all there is to life, get up on Sunday, go to church, hear the choir sing, do a few laps around the church and shouting, hear the preacher preach, very little you go to Sunday school. After that, you go home, take out your dominoes, and you know, throw the bones on a table, pull out your Coke 45, and then you know, sin the rest of the week until next Sunday. If you think that this is it for salvation,
yeah,
you're fooled.
Say it again. Amen. It is foolish. Emotional escapades. That is even what all the songs are designed to stir your emotions, get you all worked up, but you don't change. You don't transform. You know? No transformation.
Yeah.
They do 360 degree turns. And you know what? They literally do that in the Christian church. True repentance is a 180 degree turn. You don't do a 360. You turn and go the opposite way. But they literally do turns in church. You know, God's
they do. I've done it. So I know. But you know what? To those who are listening, to church folk that are listening, as well as my, you know, Hebrew brothers and sisters. Now, to those that are in church that see these things, but you may feel that there's no other place to go. You just so therefore you feel stuck. I want you to know that there is a place to go, because the Master said that he's our shepherd, and the place to go is really back to the Torah, back to the traditions of Ahiah, and back to the house of Israel, which is the true, once again, Kahal, the true congregation. And so just come back to him. That's where you should go. So just as we did, and it wasn't easy, but come, just have that faith that, you know, just come back to him, and you won't go wrong. So for those of you who feel like I don't have no, I understand what you're saying. I agree with what you're saying. I hate what I see also, but there's nowhere to go. There is a place to go. I just want you to know. And this is what we're offering you today, that there is a place back to Ahiah, back to his covenant, back to the Tanakh, back to the Torah way of teaching, because those who obey the commands are those who's going to make it in the kingdom. Those who not, according to Revelations, they're not. So you do have an offer.
I do have an offer. I think that we have there is, like you just said, there's nothing wrong with us wanting to have fellowship with each other, because he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. What you do is you find people that want to come together and be in the truth and study with them. It might start off with two or three. But, you know, we've got addicted to the fellowship and assembling of being in the church because we like to go to comedy shows. We like to go to picnics. We're just a loving, joyous people, and he put that in us. So we understand that. But once you start crying out loud and seeing the truth, you can't, you don't want to be a part of the madness and the foolishness. So we have to begin to create fellowships online, one, two, three at a time, and be patient. But rejoice in the fact that you're free and your eyes are open now, and that you've been saved from a burning hell, as opposed to, I want to be with the crew. You know, people are such sheeple that follow the sheep. You got to come up out of that mentality. It's okay to have to kick it with your people and miss the car. So find a Hebrew assembly. They got some out there. Find some people that are awake. They got some out there. But in the meantime, you know, in the meantime, in between time, stand up for what you're starting to believe in and what the Most High is calling you out of. That is the benefit and the privilege that he's tapping you on the shoulder saying, come out of her.
Well, we don't want a court here. I just turned it to that scripture.
Really?
Well, this is what I got. Second Corinthians, once again, this is Paul speaking, 6:17 and also Revelations 18:4. 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separated. That word separated is kodesh. Says Ahia, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will, that's a promise, I will receive you. Revelations 18:4, quickly turn to that, says, this particular call verse right here has been, as I listen to other brothers, Hebrew brothers and sisters, this has been one of the callings that all of us are calling out today in this particular verse. 18:4 says, and I heard another voice from heaven, from the Shamayim, saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and the Most High has remembered her iniquities. You know, so that's our message today to the world and to, you know, into the Christian church. And really to all, you know, to Islam and whatever, to all religions. But
that's,
you know, what I'm saying, since I came out of the church.
Yeah, we just beating up what we came out of because we know how corrupt it is, and you know, but we know that the mosque and the Islamic religion that's steeped in paganism, we're talking to you as well too, Bean Pie, my brother, you too, out there with that bow tie and this outward righteousness, we're talking to you too, because you are not Kodesh and the Ruach is not in your life because you're not keeping the commandments, you know, you following the last call. And whatever Farrakhan say, you got to come up out of that idolatry and paganism yourself too. So we're dealing with you too. Last thing, last but not least, before we get ready to go, we were getting ready to deal with this, and I'll let you know that I was talking about this rabbi who I had on my show, who I publicly renounce right now today. I erased every show that was on my broadcast. I renounce it because he's teaching a false religion and a false doctrine, and I repent for having had him on early, for not having done my proper study of his message. And I can say that and do that, and I renounce it, because this whole thing about multiple marriage is getting out of control with our Hebrew people. Is it lawful to have more than one wife? Yes. Yes, it is. What was its purpose early on? Was to populate a nation, because that's what we were building originally, as we were getting to the point of being the children of Yahshareh. Is it necessary today? No, it's not, because you Negroes don't take care of your own kids and their own welfare. Most of you that got multiple wives right now, you got them on welfare. Scripture tells us that a preacher, an elder, a deacon is to be the husband of one wife. which denotes the fact that it was okay to have multiple wives, but they had multiple wives when both wives were in agreement to be in that position. So what we have right now, Elder, and the reason I'm bringing it out, is that what's creeping into the awake community, the Hebrew Israelites, what's creeping up in it is fornication and adultery and whoremongers, because what they're calling multiple wives is actually fornication, because they got wives in different states, different countries, talking about I got a wife in the northern kingdom and one in the southern kingdom like Father Abraham, and all this foolishness. And what they're doing is these women don't even know that they got multiple wives. And what they're doing, talking about I'm a Hebrew, but they're actually fornicating and in adultery.
Mm.
The next thing to do, Elder, is that when they get through with that husband and wife, they'll give them what's called a get, which was a Hebrew divorce, a get. This is what they're doing today, is being married to a Hebrew sister for a year and then give her a Hebrew divorce and move on to the next. Let me tell you something. That is adultery. The kingdom of the Most High. And we just read the scriptures and we're going to cover them again. What you got is something packaged. It's just like walk into Walgreens, CVS, Walmart, and you see a name brand, and then you see the generic brand of that store just repackaged and redone, because we're trying to rename it so we can justify it and feel good about it. And that is in amongst us. Come for my people and repent. We're taking something that is lawful, but as Shaul said, that all things lawful are not expedient. Moses would have had time with 2 million members and on the top speaking to the Most High to be dealing with multiple 4 and 5 wives when you got to please all of them? We're doing kingdom. We're to be about our Father's business. So what you going to do with 3 or 4 when you can't even deal with one and teach her the word and grow your family and your children in the words of the Most High? Huh? What you going to do with multiple? So what's happening is that we that say we're awoke, we actually have fornication and adultery creeping into the camps with this message that is being perverted and overly spoken of right now. Different countries to get different wives because they're talking about I'm a Hebrew, so they feel like I've got all this liberty now, so they're abusing this liberty because they feel like they've come into the knowledge of the truth of this liberty. What? I can have multiple wives? Oh, it's all. So suddenly the discipline, the barriers are gone, and Negroes are falling into fornication and adultery and actually going to other countries to marry women and fly them in and trying to get the other wife to agree, and the American black woman going crazy. She's trying to deal with it and wrestle with it, but it's ended up in divorce. Listen,
yes.
Isaiah the 3rd chapter says that in that last day, and women will flock to him. But we're not in that last day yet in the wilderness where there'll only be a third and there'll be a few men. Stop following after your loins, brothers. Now, we got some scripture, some precepts for it. Elder, you got something you want to read?
I just wanted to say that even though you had mentioned what Paul said, Paul was really going back again to the Old Testament. I'm trying to find it now. I know it's in Numbers, where these elders of the tribes, they were appointed elders, leaders of, I believe, thousands, hundreds, in tens. For these people to be elders, they had to be examples, once again, to their tribe and to their community within the camp. And so Paul was really just, quote, going back to, once again, the Torah to say who qualifies as an elder. And then he throws in bishop, but the bishop is still the same thing as an elder, a person who is, you know, married to one wife, example in the community. He's only quoting Moses. And so this is not a new thing, what he was doing in the Old Testament. He was quoting the Torah. And sorry, I can't find it right now. I was just looking for it. I know.
While you're looking for it, let me go ahead. Let me go ahead and read a few of the precepts about the one wife thing. And let me let you brothers know, I'm not hating. You know, it may be okay. It is lawful. If you got to show me why it's necessary in your life. Now, if your first wife says, hey, look, we need a second wife around here to help me clean up and take care of you because you just too much. I could hear it because, you know, that's actually the way that it should be, because the first wife will have a lot of say-so over the second wife. That is how in the tribes in Africa they still conducted that. The lead head wife was the one that makes those decisions and checks the second wife. That's how it would have been deemed necessary. And also for you brothers that get wives in other places, the scripture said to leave mother and father and to cling to your wife.
Mm.
Cling to your wife. How are you going to cling and she in another country? Man, you just...
That's true.
It's like R&B rock stars flying from state to state, got chicks in every state. Excuse me for saying... Listen, Ephesians 5:30.
That's true.
5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. 1 Timothy 3:12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children. 1 Timothy 5:9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. I didn't really need that one. Titus talked about if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. He was describing the calling of deacons. And Matthew 19:6 lets us know that the two become one flesh. So it was a purpose of the lawful taking of multiple wives. I praise the Most High that Yaakov took 4 wives and gave us the 12 tribes of Yasharel. Hallelujah. Understand? Wow. Begat the 12 tribes of Israel, to we are a part of that remnant. All praises. But in this hour right here, you got to show me what nation you building. What is the purpose? You may have a purpose in your own edifice, your own home, where there is a need for it. Or you all feel like you want to have another seed. So I say, yes, it is lawful. It is spoken of, but there are mandates in the commandments. There's dictates that you must follow. You know, you ain't to have both wives in the bed at one time. This is foolishness. What we're dealing with is lust in the Hebrew community that needs to be driven out. This is a sexual sin. You got to repent, Israel. I said we got to repent, Israel. We're going crazy with this multiple wife message, using it as an occasion to stumble, as an occasion to sin. We're using it for the wrong purpose.
Totally. Well, to say amen to that. I know some people are saying, well, you know, you're supposed to say amen or whatever, but I just say, you know, I totally agree with that. So it be, should I say.
Yeah, with that. Yeah, anything else that you had on the plate for these particular sexual sins?
No, I was just still trying to find that, but maybe I'll just hold off or something.
Okay.
Unless you still want me to look for it.
No, if you deem it necessary for it to be heard, I want to get ready to close out with this scripture if you haven't had that. We're going to go ahead and close out. All praises to the Most High. We are passionate about this because we know Israel can be some people that just get their groove on. So we got to cut it off at the arms and legs. You know, Israel is like Marvin Gaye, that Let's Get It On song. When y'all get carnal, y'all get carnal. You get carnal. Let's not even forget what happened when Musa went to the top to get the commandments. They was like, make us another God and keep the party going. And Aaron just standing there in amazement, looking at these folks going crazy, going wild. That's how we can be. If we just give them an inch, they will take a mile. So we have to cry out loud about this particular message. We really do. We really do. It's not a joke, and it's going to destroy our people, and you will be in the 2/3 and will not inherit the kingdom.
That's true. I know we went over time, but I you know, it was needed.
Galatians 5:17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." That says it right there. You sleeping, going from room to room, sleeping with three wives, your lust may be overtaking you, as is spoken of in 5:17. It says these are contrary one to the other. Listen to the last part. So that ye cannot do things that ye would normally do. Those things are to pursue the Most High in His kingdom and to fight the enemy. And that is so key. I'm gonna leave it at that. You got anything you want to say, brother?
I just want to repeat, you know, come out from among her, be separated. And I just wanted to leave it with that note. And to be, you know, Kodesh before the Most High, because He's Kodesh, and we are to follow His way, and we are to follow His lead. And so, you know, without Kodesh, as Hebrews says, King James says holiness, without Kodesh, no man is going to see him. So number one rule, you know, you got to be Kodesh. How you be Kodesh? Obeying his commands. And so we got to return back to his Torah commands, and through them is eternal life.
Most High, Father,
in the Messiah.
That's right. Most High, Ahayah B'Hashem, Yeshaya, forgive us for our sins of lust. Deliver us from this evil, because these lust spirits are strong all around us. Deliver us from this evil and give our people a new desire, a new passion for you, and give them the ability through the Ruach to come up out of this world system and to walk away from this flesh. Cleanse us. In the name of Yeshaya, I pray. Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm going to say start fasting and praying. Stay away from food for a day so you can deal with your flesh. When you start fasting, you'll start to kill the flesh and the desires of the flesh. So if you're struggling in these areas and all you're thinking about is a wife or a husband, an Ishi or an Aisha, then you need to do some fasting. If you're struggling with your relationship, talking about, oh, I just don't love him no more and all this kind of stuff, why don't you fast for a minute? Because trust me, that brother or that sister, they got all you need. You need to be doing the work of the Most High and utilize that relationship for what the Most High gave it to you for. You know, so let's get back to fasting, Israel. Let's get back to fasting. So I'm going to say to you, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. Let's lift up the Father. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Away, away from the noise, alone with you, away, away to hear your voice and meet with you. Nothing else matters. My one desire is to worship you and live. To worship you and live. I live to worship you. To worship you, I live.
alone with you.
Keep on.
got news for rejoicing. Now a new sun is rising. I count my blessings that I'm safe when I'm resting. Furniture in my nesting, not by force I'm suggesting. You count your blessings. I've got love and assurance. I've got new health insurance. I've got strength and endurance. So I count my blessings and give thanks to the Master that through all the disaster we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.
Count your blessings. Yo, this year, can't wait till it gets here. 7/21/09, my first sun will shine. And it's amazing, I'm about to be raising another made man. And like his dad, they'll praise him. And some will hate him, just cause we building a nation. Like Bob did with Damien, the world will embrace him. Girls will chase him, foresee they will not break him. And when I'm not around, you look for God and thank
him. I've got somewhere to dress for, and I've got no need to stress for. And so I'll always put my best foot and count my blessings. And there'll be no need for tissues, cause there'll be no further issues. If you've got someone who miss you, man, count your blessings. And I've got love and assurance, and I've got new health insurance, and I've got strength and endurance. So I got my blessings. And give thanks to the Master that through all the disaster we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.
You were sitting in the top position, picture perfect, nothing less cause you deserve it. Without the Hermes, you never hurting. You knew that you was destined for greatness for certain. To see the overzealous, they be thirsting. Caught up in emotion, you keeping your composure like Gershwin. Songs by Earthwind, keep you in the zone writing verses. So when your pocket's light, know that you have a heavy purpose.
We've got preschool and daycare, we've got pension and welfare. And though not all we play the game fair, still I got my blessings. I've got joy in abundance, I've got life full of substance, I've got meetings and functions, so I count my blessings. I've got something to live for, I've got surplus to give more, and we're all welcome to his door, so I count my blessings. And give thanks to the Master, that through all the disaster, we're still here together after, so I count my blessings.
I think you're looking too hard for it, with a double law under your garage door. Appreciate the things you work hard for, and count your blessings, count your blessings. So don't be mad if you ain't fly, y'all. You got the means to reach the level I'm on. You should know that there's only one notch, y'all. But count your blessings, count your blessings.
And I've got tutors to fight in, and I've got news for rejoicing. Now a new sun is rising, I count my blessings. That I'm safe when I'm resting. Furniture in my nesting, not by force I'm suggesting. You count your blessings. I've got love and assurance. I've got new health insurance. I've got strength and endurance. So I count my blessings. And give thanks to the Master that through all the disaster we're still here together after. Better count your blessings.